1. And we're going to read the first 10 verses of Psalm 51. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. And we just pray, Lord, that we would learn from it, Lord, that we would yield to the work that you're seeking to do in our lives, Lord, that we might be transformed and made new by your power. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As believers, God seeks to do a work in our hearts. He knows the issues of our hearts better than we do. And as we've seen, He uses His Word, and He often uses challenges in our lives to help us to see the true condition of our hearts and areas that need growth, areas that need His work in them. And He doesn't expose things to us. He doesn't show us our weaknesses just so that we can live in shame and discouragement. Rather, He's exposing the problem so that He can then provide us the solution as we yield to His workings within us. And so we've already considered the various heart issues we can have that necessitate His transforming and healing work. When we have a heart that is divided, a heart that is deceitful, a heart that is proud, a heart that is broken, that we need His healing, we need His work in us. But we want to kind of switch things, and for today and for many weeks to come, we want to consider what God wants to do in our hearts, and more specifically, where He wants to bring our hearts to, kind of His destination for us in that sense. Because really, if we have that mapped out to us, I think it really gives us greater confidence and greater peace as we go through the trials of life. Because often when events happen that are unexpected and difficult, we wonder, well, what is God doing? Why did He bring this into my life? Why is He allowing this to happen to me? But when we understand, okay, God is doing a work in us, He has a goal for us, there's something that we're going through this trial for. It's to bring us to a certain place in our thinking, in the way we look at life. He's trying to do that work in our heart. And so we'll only really find that once we get to the other side of the trial. But if we have the sense, okay, this is why He's doing it, this is where He's taking us, then it gives us the ability to much more be able to accept our situation and just say, Lord, okay, I'm going to allow you to do your whatever this work is that you sent this trial to work in me. I'm going to yield to it and learn from it. And so in this passage here, in Psalm 51, we find how it says this in the beginning, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba." And so it's in this passage that David has been confronted with his sin with Bathsheba by the prophet Nathan. He had done something horrible, and he had committed adultery, and then he had tried to cover it up by essentially having Bathsheba's husband, who was a dedicated soldier, was one of his mighty men, sent him into, gave orders to send him into battle in a position where he was sure to be slain. And for some time, it seemed like he had gotten away with it, that nobody else seemed to really know. It hadn't gotten out publicly, everything seemed okay. But just as we all know, just as with Moses says in earlier on in the scriptures, he says, be sure your sin will find you out. And that's always what happens, is that no matter how much we try to mask and hide and try to get away with sin, eventually it comes out that when we hide our sin, we never prosper. And instead, we're to confess and forsake it. And so we find this, that God told Nathan, and Nathan, by God's direction, confronted David with his sin in such a way that it really hit home. And thankfully, we see that when David was confronted with his sin, he responded properly. And it really shows him to be a man of character and to be a great leader. Because he didn't deny it. He didn't try to justify what he had done. He didn't try to shift the blame, say it was Bathsheba's fault or anything like that. He didn't try to dance around it or claim that he couldn't remember what happened. He knew he was wrong. And we find here that he went to God in repentance. And really, here in Psalm 51, we see him fully articulating his repentance to God. That this is essentially, you could say, his prayer to ask God to be merciful to him. And so we see in this passage David acknowledging his sin. We see him pleading for mercy. But as well in this passage, we see some phrases repeated where David is asking God to do something for him that he could not do for himself. So in verse 2 we read, it says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And he wants to be clean. And it's truly, it kind of gives this picture that basically not just thoroughly as if he was, you're cleaning the outside of him, but truly, like from the inside out, he needed to be cleansed. In later on in verse 7 we read, it says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That he wants to be washed. He wants to be made clean again. In verse 10 he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That he has this desire, that the sin is within him, with along with its shame and guilt, and it is a black mark on his heart. He knows it's there, and he knows that he can't remove it himself. It's not something that he can do penance or he can do a bunch of good things to try to cancel out this thing that he did. It's never going to work. That every time that he would have thought of this, even though it seemed he got away from it, that it filled him with guilt and shame. He thought it would make him happy. It thought it would be worthwhile, but it never did. And that's the way sin is it seems like it'll be good, but then there's always regret. We're never happy when we sin. And so David knew that he needed his heart to be cleansed. And he knew that only God could do that for him. And so he wanted that clean heart. And only God created with him. It says in Proverbs 20 verse 9, we looked at this last week, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin. That it's not something any of us can do. It's only something God can do. And thankfully, I don't think any of us have done a deed such as David did. And so we may kind of think, well, we're kind of fine where we're at. And that's sometimes a mindset we need to be kind of shocked out of in some ways. Because sometimes we think, well, I haven't done all the bad stuff. And so I must be okay. I must be clean. But we want to realize that just as David needed to have a cleansed heart, so do all of us need God to do His cleansing work in our own hearts. And so we want to ask, well, why do each of us need God's cleansing? Well, we all need God's cleansing because all of us are sinners by birth, by choice, and by nature. Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, it says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And it says, they are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And there is much that sin does to us as we engage in sin. We can think of how sin enslaves us, how it brings us into bondage, that it's very addictive in its power. And once we get started down a path, if we continue in habitual sin, it becomes harder and harder for us to get out of it. We know that sin condemns us. It puts us in a place where there is judgment to come upon us because of our sin. We know that our sin separates us from a holy God, that we cannot have a closeness with them when they're sin. It prevents us from being blessed of God when there's sin within us and amongst us. It destroys us in many different ways as it gets a hold of our life. But as well, we want to recognize that sin defiles us. Sin makes us filthy. It tarnishes our lives and our reputations. It pollutes us. That we can think of different times when perhaps when we were younger, where we were out doing something. A lot of times there can be times where it's rained and as kids we want to play in the mud and have some fun and splash around. But then there's times where we end up slipping and falling in the mud and we come in and as soon as our mother sees us at the door, just like she just doesn't want us to step in to the house because she knows we're filthy and we're going to get everything else filthy that we touch. That she'd rather have you go in the yard and she could hose you off a bit so that then you wouldn't track it all the way through the house. But it's the thing is that when we sin, that it makes us filthy and it can make everything and everyone that we touch filthy as well. That there's so many times you think of where someone does something wrong and the whole family has to carry that shame because of what someone did. You think of in politics, that if someone's a member of a party and they do something wrong, that whole party can be tainted with that same thing. But it's the way sin is. It defiles us, and once we're defiled by sin, we can defile many others through it. And the thing is that each of us has a sin nature, and it's a natural bent towards sin. It is a desire for what is forbidden. And even though we know that indulging in sin is always harmful, and it's always self-destructive, yet we do it anyways. Just like Adam and Eve, we believe the devil's lie that giving in to temptation is going to be worth it. And it never is. And like Adam and Eve, as soon as we partake of what is forbidden, we are filled with shame and regret. And we want to withdraw ourselves so that people do not see our shame. And it's kind of the thing is that physically speaking, we can get filthy on the outside, and it can be, in some ways, easy to clean ourselves off, especially nowadays where we have showers and we have soaps and other different things and cleaners. We can get things pretty clean on the outside, but the problem with sin is it's when we're defiled on the inside, and that once sin gets in and once sin is a part of our lives, it can defile us for a very long time. And of course, the problem that we have is a lot of times we think of sin as something that's on the outside of us that we have to keep from entering into us. And really, there's so much of men's efforts to try to do that, of trying to keep us ourselves clean and pure in that way by our own efforts. We think of the Pharisees, of how they had all these different rules of how to keep themselves clean. We think even of the monks of medieval Christianity who had this idea, well, the world is evil and we need to separate ourselves from the world and keep it out so that we're not tainted by the world. But the thing is we have to realize is that it isn't something that we've kept sin out and that we have ever prevented ourselves from being defiled. The fact is, if we sin and we are defiled by sin, it is because of what's already inside of us that has been defiled. And we see this in Mark chapter 7, if you turn there with me. Mark chapter 7, and we've been in verse 14, but he's talking about the kind of the Pharisees, because they had this idea of all these things of they had to make sure their hands were washed a certain way so that they didn't defile themselves. And he wanted to correct a mistake in thinking that they had. We see in beginning of verse 14, when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because there entereth not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meat." And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." It's kind of the thing that so often we have a tendency, we want to blame we got in the wrong crowd, or we want to say the devil made me do it. But the fact is when we sin, it's because we're drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. That the defilement doesn't come from without. When we're defiled, so often it comes from within. It's our hearts that have been defiled, our hearts that are sinful. And all this evil comes out of the heart, our own hearts, as we hold on to things that are we should not, as we play with sin, we think about it, we seek after things, we don't nip things in the bud as we should, and we allow things to fester until the point where we do all kinds of evil things, and it's coming out of what our own hearts that have been defiled. And that's what we want to recognize our problem to be, that our hearts have been defiled by sin. And it is our defiled hearts that lead us into thoughts and actions of sin, that defile our bodies, defile our minds, defile our consciousness, and end up defiling many others. That it speaks of how our tongues, that they can defile the whole body when we get them going off where we shouldn't. It talks about when we can have a root of bitterness within us, that many can be defiled by that root of bitterness. That it's the thing is that we want to realize that as sin starts to defile us, it soon also begins to define us. That people know us because of the sins that we have given into, because of what we have done. That we're known for our sinfulness. And it can be a very frustrating thing, is that, as we see in Romans chapter 7, Paul's struggle, where he saw that within him there was no good thing, that there was always, he was wanting to do good, and he found that he couldn't. He was trying to stop doing what was wrong, and he kept doing it. And he just got very frustrated till he found that in Christ he could be free from that. But it is something that we realize we have that sin nature within us. And it's always going to draw us into sin if we're not careful. And so for each of us, it's very clear that our hearts need God's cleansing. And that cleansing, we recognize, began in earnest when we first came to Christ in repentance and faith, when His sacrifice was applied to our account. But we realize that cleansing process that began at our salvation, that it's continuing. It's an ongoing process that we have to continue. And it's what we refer to as sanctification. And the thing is the more sin has been a part of our lives in the past, the more cleansing we need. When it's become a habit that we actually have our lives transformed so that we think differently, we don't follow that same pattern of behavior. And so from day to day we realize too, we need cleansing. As we stumble and succumb to temptation, when we find ourselves walking in the flesh, where we find ourselves overreacting with anger or frustration to people that disappoint us, that's just the same, that we would never spend a week where we would never wash our hands, where we would never shower or bathe. We would say that's just not healthy, that's not good, that it would it'd probably be a much greater chance of getting sick, getting some kind of disease or germs or something, that people probably won't want to be around us because we'll start to smell. And it just, we don't want to do that. We wouldn't spend a week and not get ourselves cleansed and washed. And we think of that on the outside, and that makes complete sense. But we want to realize, much more do we need that cleansing on the inside. And that it's not something where we go a month without getting cleansed by God on the inside. That really each day we need to come to Him for that cleansing and have Him wash us. That as soon as we realize we've done something wrong, that we say, Lord, I need Your cleansing. I need Your help in this. Because it's something, I've done this, it's a stain on my heart, and I can't wash it off myself. I need You to do that for me. But the Lord, knowing our state, knowing our need of cleansing, we see through the Scriptures that God's offer and promise of cleansing. I just wanted to read a few verses to you that are just really speak of this and really can be a great encouragement to us in times where we've found we've done something wrong and we feel full of guilt and shame. And we realize what God wants to do in our lives. He doesn't want us to remain in that state and be continually beating ourselves up because of the wrong that we've done. He wants to give us His cleansing. We see first of all in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 where He says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And He has this thought, and for any of you that have done laundry, it's kind of that thought that if you get something stained, especially if it's like a red stain on something that's white, it just seems to be nearly impossible to get out. But He's saying that even though your sins would be like that, that it would be scarlet, that I can make them as white as snow. He can make them white again. That's something that we would say that we could never do that, but God can do that. We see Jeremiah 33 and verse number 8, where He says, "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me." And He promises this cleansing. Ezekiel chapter 36 verses 25 and 26, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you, and a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now we see this promise of his cleansing. We see a story, if you turn with me to Zechariah chapter 3. And this is a passage that really, I think, can be an encouragement to us. Because this is a vision that the prophet is given by God, and it's speaking of this man named Joshua, who is a high priest in Jerusalem at that time. This was after they had returned from captivity. And it says, beginning in verse 1 of Zechariah 3, "He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel." And I think a lot of us, sometimes we feel like Joshua is in this situation, where basically we've done something wrong and the filthiness is before us. And really, the frustrating part is the devil has tempted us and gotten us to fall, and now that we've fallen, he's the one that's standing there to accuse us, standing there to resist us, standing there to condemn us before God. And yet we know the truth that we, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we see here that the Lord rebuking Satan for resisting Joshua. And it says, verse 4, "He answered and spake unto them that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And then he said, Behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by." That it went from the position where he was clad in these filthy garments, and the devil was next to him to resist him and to accuse him, where instead now he's in these clean garments, he's ready for the service of the Lord, and there's an angel standing by him to help him. That we just see the change, and it's by God doing a work there. And then as well, Zechariah 13 verse 1, we see this verse. It says, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness." That the Lord promises that there would be this fountain that he would establish, that would be, people could go into that fountain and they could be cleansed. And of course, we realize all of this that is spoken of is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work he did for us on the cross. That we sing that hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." And that's what we recognize. He is that fountain. We think of what it speaks of in 1 John 1 verse 9, just a promise that is so important to us, that is something that we can recognize when we first come to know Christ as Savior, and it's something that we can keep with us as a believer all through our lives as we stumble and falter. That the truth of 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that's the blessing of it. And it's kind of the thing that we find often in so many different passages of Scripture, that three-letter word "all" is a word that we struggle to accept. We struggle to think that it really encompasses what it says it does, that we think there must be an exception. We think if there's this that I have done, that it's too much for God to clean away, that I'm going to bear this for the rest of my life. But he says, no, if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we who were filthy, we who had sins that were as scarlet, we can be made by the power of God as white as snow. And we rejoice in that truth. We rejoice of that, what God is promising, and knowing that what he has promised, he is able to perform. That he can cleanse us. He can wash us and make us new, make us clean. in a way beyond what we'd ever imagine. And so, as we recognize this, the question is, well, how does God clean us? And how do we know that we're cleansed? And what is the means by which He does this cleaning? In the Scriptures, we can see two things. If you turn with me, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And it's that thought that he loves us. He loves us as a church. He loves us as individuals. And he knows where we're at. And it isn't something that he says, well, you've got to clean up your act before I can love you. It's he loves us so that he can sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. And that's how he cleanses us, is by his word. That God's word is truth, and it wipes away the lies. It exposes sin so that God can deal with it. It shows us what is right. It talks about in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction, righteousness. The man of God might be perfect, truly furnished in all good works. Someone's laid out that doctrine is what is right, that correction, or for reproof, is to show us when we're wrong. And then correction is how to get right, and instruction, righteousness, is how to stay right. And as we read God's word, as we apply it, that it's like soap for us, that it's something that we need to get into God's word and just really lather up in it and allow our hearts to be made clean as we see the truth of God's word. We see his standard of righteousness, his standard of holiness. And as we spend time in his word, that it helps to make us clean. But then as well, we recognize too, if you turn with me to 1 John 1 and verse 7, where he says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." And we recognize he cleanses us by his word, but then he also cleanses us by his blood. That the power the blood has can cleanse us from our sin. It is his means of atonement. It is the only thing that can blot out our sins. There's nothing else that will work. And it is as we come to him, acknowledging our sin, that the blood is applied to our account. And our sins are covered. Our sins are blotted out. There is no more remembrance of them under heaven. And we are made clean, that we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so, as we conclude, we ask, how can each of us, we know we need God's cleansing, we know he offers it to us, we know the means by which we can be cleansed, but how can we each experience God's cleansing day by day? Now we think, first of all, what it says in Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word." That we need to follow God's word. We need to do what it says. When it calls sin, sin, that we need to agree with it. We need to accept it. And it's a thought that we need to, as the word exposes our sin, we need to acknowledge our sin before God. That too often we do too many other things that don't work. That we try to justify what we did. We try to minimize what we did. We try to shift the blame to someone else. And especially nowadays, we see that we try to redefine what sin is. We deny that something is sin. We think, well, everybody's doing it, it's okay now. But the fact is, when God calls it sin, we need to accept it and acknowledge it before him. And we need to come into fellowship with him, that we say, "Lord, that this is wrong. I've broken my fellowship with you because of the sin that I've done. I need to make this right. I need to be cleansed. Please forgive me. Please, as your word says, cleanse me and make my heart clean and washed and usable for you." And so the cleansing of our hearts is a work that God wants to do, and it comes as we yield our hearts to him. And it's the choice that we have. It just we can have times where we fall in the mud and we're filthy. And we could stay that way, or we could go have a shower and get cleaned up. And it's the same way spiritually, that we can stay filthy and defiled, or we can come to Him for the cleansing that we need. And as we do so, it's just so much, such a relief when we get that filth off of us and that we're made new in Him. And so may the Lord help us to learn to recognize His desire to cleanse us, recognize our need for it, and to come for Him for that cleansing so that we can be made washed and new in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the cleansing work that You want to do through Your Word and through Your blood. We just pray, Lord, You would help us to accept our sin when You expose it to us and come to You for the cleansing we need. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.